A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters? Who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick? Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way. In the wasteland, rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches. For I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. The word of the Lord.
Themselves said, what great deeds the Lord worked for them. What great deeds the Lord worked for us. Indeed, we were glad.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are
back our exiles, O Lord, as streams in the south. Those who are sowing in tears will sing when they reap.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. They
go out full of tears, bearing seed for the sowing. They come back with a song, bearing their sheaves.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to to know him and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it, or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing. Forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they?" She replied, "No one, sir." She said, woman, where are they? Has no one come to condemn you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Verbum Domini. God's mercy is incredible and immeasurable. Last week in the gospel, last Sunday, we heard about the parable of the prodigal son. And today we have this story here of the woman who's caught in adultery. And in both the parable of the prodigal son and in both here, we see God's mercy in action. You know, here is Jesus showing much love, pouring mercy into this woman here who's been involved in sinful behavior. And though there are many around them to condemn her, Jesus shows such mercy. And we can learn many things from this passage here. Many things about how we are to give mercy, also about how we are to receive mercy. And at the same time, how we are to rebuild ourselves from a life of sin. Mercy involves all of this. And so here we are with these Pharisees. They're condemning a woman, and at the same time, they're trying to trap Jesus. You know, they want him to say something that would contradict the law of Moses, or even the law of the Romans. But Jesus is looking at this whole situation here. He knows what's in the hearts of the Pharisees. He sees the woman here who is frightened, scared. You know, she feels ashamed. And Jesus responds, as always, with love. And, you know, he looks at them and says, "Is there anyone who without sin here cast the first stone?" And in looking at them, he's telling them that yes, you know, you have sinned yourself also. Who are you to condemn? Who are you to judge this woman? See, they were in sin themselves. And what we're not seeing here is that often in the book of in the law, the man would also be held accountable if he was caught in adultery. Now he would also be suffocated or like almost hung, or there was something they did where they would put a towel around them, two towels, and one man on one side the other, on the other, and then both men would pull it until the man died, until the person accused died. No, but here we only see the woman, and Jesus is pointing out as this, like, you know, let's be fair here. You know, what about you, your sin? Now, who are you to judge and condemn this woman, with many of them probably sinning with her? And some of them, if not sinning with her, some of them having these adulterous thoughts as well. Remember the teaching of Jesus. He says that if you have these thoughts, and if you, of course, are building on them, you know, these adulterous thoughts, this is you yourself are committing adultery. And so this is what he's communicating to these Pharisees and these accusers here. And Jesus, in saying these words, you know, he's looking at the woman with such mercy. He's not condemning her. He's giving her another chance, an opportunity to do better. And so we could look at this here, at this this passage, and see that it's almost like the woman is just getting by. And then last week in the parable of the prodigal son, this young man, he's just like, okay, yeah, he comes back to his father, he comes to his senses, and now he's just like, hey, excused. See, Jesus at the end of this tells the woman, don't sin anymore. You know, you've been forgiven. Go your way now. Don't sin anymore. See, what we often forget, and this sometimes can lead us into the sin of presumption, is that, yeah, you know, God forgives, God forgets. That's true. We sin, he'll forgive us all the time. But we still remember. You know, there's always a consequence to the sin. Once we've sinned, we've exposed ourselves to sensations. And these sensations can be very overpowering. And what they do is they create this appetite within us for more of this pleasure in a very disordered or a natural way. And so that's what we got to be mindful of. See, when we sin, we hurt worse off as we could hurt other people, and we could hurt ourselves. There's always damage done. So this is what we need to be mindful of. Now, so this woman, yeah, she's forgiven, but yet, you know, there's all the temptation there. There's all the memories of the sin. No, and everything that goes with it. Now, and then we hear about the parable last week. Yeah, this man, he went off and squandered and used up all this money. No, who knows what he was doing, drinking, eating. No, it says that he was with prostitutes. Well, same thing. He has to live with the consequence of the sin. Well, in mercy, there is also restoration. Now, and in the restoration, there Jesus heals. He heals the wounds caused by sin. And we need to do our part in this as well. And in doing our part, that means that we do penance. We pray, we do penance, we do charity. Now, this all helps with the healing because the prayer and the penance, prayer and the penance help us to control, to moderate these desires or our concupiscence. And then the charity, you know, it takes us out of ourselves. We come out of ourselves and help others, so we're not so consumed with our own sinful desires. You know, we go out and do some acts of love for people. You know, getting involved in some kind of organization, or better yet, even being more mindful of the people's needs around us. Now, when we're caught up and consumed in sin, we become very selfish and often don't see the pain in other people or the need in others. So charity often helps. It covers a multitude of sins, as St. Paul tells us. Now, there are many of us out there who, of course, have sinned. No, and yes, we've fallen short. And sometimes we can be like these Pharisees with ourselves. We condemn ourselves. No, and we got to be careful of this. And the reason is that it often leads to depression, discouragement, self-pity. No, Jesus, in telling this woman, your sins are forgiven, go off and sin no more, he's telling her that don't sin anymore, but show people, show yourself that you can do better. No, take this upon you and improve yourself. This is repair. Now, this is what we need to remember when we sin, is that, okay, yeah, we fell short, you made a mistake, but there's always reparation, restoration. We repair what we've damaged. And again, through prayer, penance, and almsgiving. And in doing this, we approach the Lord. And the Lord, He gives us the same mercy here as He showed the woman. The Lord, of course, Jesus, I mean, like I said, He's not excusing the sin. He's saying that, okay, yeah, you sinned. Let me help you now. No, he will tell us how to do better. No, but it's really us who brought the punishment on ourselves. You know, in sin, we distance ourselves from God. You know, we now experience the effects of it, and then the misery and the guilt that comes with this. But then there is always Jesus. Jesus who comes to forgive, comes to heal. He doesn't condemn you. He just wants to help you. That's the Lord here. There's always another chance with Him. And so at the same time, you know, we shouldn't take this mercy for granted, be presumptuous, but we should all know that there is a God who loves us, who wants to be close to us, who will restore us, who wants eternity with us. And He shows us this great love by coming here, experiencing sin, experiencing the temptations of sin, not sin, He didn't sin, but He comes here and experiences life, everything we experience but sin, and He shows us the way. He Himself is the way, and as we hear in the first reading, yeah, this is a hard life. It's not easy to avoid the distractions and temptations of this life. But Jesus, as we hear in this first reading, He makes a way in the desert. You know, here He is coming to do a new thing. And this is what we have to have in our hearts and our minds, is the Lord is here for us. Here He is, loving us unconditionally and always ready to show such mercy. And so we place ourselves in the hands of Jesus. If we've sinned or fallen short, He's there to help us get back up again. He's there to tell us that He loves us and that He wants to do new things. Go to Jesus. Know He loves you, and know He's always ready to forgive. God bless you all.